Progressive brings you Flowetry with Flo.
To count the discounts, save driver, paperless, automatic payments, multi-car, so many, a penny. Saved is a penny earned, you learn. The money you saved, it builds like a wave of dollar bills. The thrills, scary movies give me chills.
Discounts that help you save more for the things you want. From Progressive, visit progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Hey, everybody. This is Pat Buck, one half of a conversation with the big guy. And on this episode, I get a little bit too intoxicated. And what I should have been doing while drinking is having a delicious meal from BlueApron.com. What is BlueApron.com? They're a terrific company. Their mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. You just go to their website, you pick a meal you like, you pick a food plan you like, they deliver it straight to you, all the ingredients. You cook them up in 40 minutes or less. Their beef, their chicken, their pork, it comes from responsibly raised animals. I know a lot of you guys care about that, as I do too. Their regenerative farming practices are for their produce. And Blue Apron ships you the exact amount of each ingredient. So if you're, even though I went to culinary school, that's right, it's culinary, not culinary, but I still am not that great in the kitchen. I have my degree in everything. What a waste of time. Student loans are killing me. But Blue Apron makes it easy for this horrible chef to make actually decent meals. Last night, my wife just made the beef skewers, had a special sauce. I forget what it was. It's on the website. And they had rice with squash and had a lemon zest on it. But it was delicious. It was great. So I'm not just plugging this for fake. I'm plugging this for real because I use it. Because 3 times a week, sometimes I don't feel like going to Chipotle. Sometimes I don't feel like cooking egg whites. I'm going to see what Blue Apron gave me. I'm going to cook up the meals. They're very cost effective. And the best thing about that is you can go to BlueApron.com/big guy. Check out this week's menu. Get your first 3 meals for free. No shipping costs, for free, because you support this show and you love conversation with the big guy. And you will love how good it feels, how it tastes to create incredible home cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's BlueApron.com/big guy. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. And maybe I should have, even though I just, you know, plugged our lovely sponsor, I have to give a little background information before the show. I mean, I was going to come on and just do our first live reads, but I feel like I have to explain myself a little bit on this show. Let's say our last recording, you know, we like to throw back a couple beers. I swear, I don't have a problem, but on this show, you would think that maybe I do have one. Me and the big guy kind of just talk about stuff. Our topic for this week is addiction, and somehow it spirals out of control. It doesn't spiral out of control. Well, we both kind of open up, and that's what this podcast really is about. But I gotta say is, next time we're recording, which we are in I think 2 weeks, when Ryback's up here and we're doing WrestlePro, I gotta drink beer, or maybe just tone down the wine a little bit, because by this point in this podcast, I'm close to 2 bottles deep, and he probably is too. However, he's 100 pounds heavier than me. So you can hear me slurring. I kind of go through a story about, a lot of you fans kind of know about it. Most of you don't. You're going to hear a crazy little story about a guy we call the Wizard. And a little down point slash kind of hilarious point in my life, as well as conversation from the big guy himself. So forgive me on that. I don't have a problem. And I promise there may be one episode after that where it gets even worse. And then I'll be back to being somewhat sober. But hey, enjoy the show.
Feed me more.
Welcome to Conversation with the Big Guy. I am the big guy, Ryback, and I am here with the one, Pat Buck.
I'm really scared on this episode. We've had a lot of wine. I had my wife. We're recording at a hotel in my hometown, Broadway.
Beautiful hometown, hotel, right? Nice.
Yeah, thanks. I hooked you up for this weekend.
You've taken care of me very well.
I have. So But into the last episode you guys listened to last week, which you can listen, subscribe, review on iTunes, and I appreciate that.
We are now on Audio Boom.
Audio Boom, which is helpful.
Yeah, we're not on SoundCloud no more, right?
No more SoundCloud, so fucking listen on iTunes or Audio Boom.
And, we have signed a contract with Audio Boom.
Yeah, hopefully they can make us some moolah.
The money is going solely to you, I believe. I have not yet earned a penny on any of this.
It's going to an offshore bank account that you don't know about, much like many of your bookings.
You've given me a briefcase of IOUs like Dumb and Dumber, in which I believe are going to be good. So, because I'm dumb as fuck.
But last episode, I had my wife come out here and... we went through a lot of bottles of wine. I'm like, hey, can you bring me and Ryan back one more bottle of wine? She's like, are you fucking serious? It's 11 o'clock.
Wait, I didn't know she was mad about it.
She wasn't mad. She's like, are you serious?
I thought your brother was going to bring it, though.
I told him. I was like, tell my brother bring it.
She's like,
I'll bring it. It's 11 o'clock in the morning.
She has to be up at 5 a.m., right?
To teach the special ed youth of the South Bronx.
That's when you know you have a good wife, though. She's very positive and encouraging to... what we're doing.
No, she's like
two dudes sitting in a hotel room drinking, filming podcasts. She is supportive of. Thank you, Lauren, very much. I waved at you. I was doing the dun dun dun.
I was like, you want to come to the podcast? She's like, no. I'm like, I don't know if she's nervous, but
you got to remember for other people though, outside of us, like we're used to this sort of thing and whatnot. And like other people that you put a microphone and like, oh God.
Like, yeah. It's like, oh shit.
What do I say?
And what do I do?
Whatever you want to say.
I feel that way when you Snapchat me, I'm like, oh, hi guys. Like, I feel like awkward. Like, don't know what to say.
Wait, what do you mean? When who Snapchats you?
Cause you're like, oh, I'm here. I'm filming conversation. Oh. Big guy. I'm like, fuck you. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going to wave my hand.
I'm going to do that three times during this episode and just put you and make you uneasy. You know, that's always the worst when you, and I should have asked you, is it cool if I do a Snapchat?
I don't give a shit.
I just put it on and like, oh, pat button. That's always awkward. So I love Snapchat, though. I think it is a great way to just let fans in on your life and see that you're a real human being and what you're doing. And, you know,
it's the most current thing. It's the biggest thing for the next year or two. I think Snapchat's the biggest thing.
I don't see it going away. No. To be honest, I know Instagram added the My Stories. I don't ever use it.
Never.
And like, I'll click on a few hot chicks to see their thing. But like, I can tell everybody does like one or two things. Nobody Snapchat is where it's at still.
And absolutely.
The only thing I wish with Snapchat is that I wish they had it a little more user friendly, where you knew how many followers you had.
Okay.
And like, you can't really tell on any of that. And I know there's like there's a formula to seeing how many, like they said, whatever you go back into your My Story and see whatever's the most watched story, say you have 8,000 views, that you times that by 1.5. And that's kind of how many followers you have.
30 views. Okay,
yeah. I'm just using it as like an example though. So I don't know. It's hard though to know an exact number, but I love it. Like I'm a big fan of like, I love watching Jay Cutler. The bodybuilder,
yeah.
Him and Vic.
Why?
It's just like they have the formula down, and that's why I put out a thing. Like I would love somebody to come and live with me, and just film me all day, and like they could live with me for free in one of my guest rooms.
Okay,
and preferably a hot chick between the age of 24 and 34, and single, no kids.
Reasonable.
And there will be a completely work friendly environment.
Absolutely.
But someone to just record the big guy Ryback living his day. Because Jay has a guy that, does his shipping and handling for him and helps him with everything. And he's doing great for himself. He's one of the few, he's a former Mr. Olympian multiple times. And he's one of the few guys that has made a great living outside of bodybuilding.
Okay.
And like, he has his own supplement line. And when I found out, like, I've always wanted to do that, and I had kind of my notes on everything, and when I found out how well he was doing on that, I didn't realize there was such an opportunity. That's kind of what started getting the wheels turning for Feed Me More Nutrition. Like, I could do this. It wasn't in my initial set of plans right away, and I was like, no, I can do this. And he is doing great. And
what's his supplement line?
I believe, because he was with BPI before. Oh.
I literally bought a jug of protein from BPI 2 days
ago. Now he has his own Cutler Nutrition, I believe.
Okay.
Which is a byproduct of that. And it's, and I know Ronnie Coleman has like his line. I think more bodybuilders are now trying to
cash.
They don't make a lot of money doing, you know, they make a little bit doing that and whatnot, but it's not what they should probably, but and that's a whole other lifestyle and whatnot. But I just enjoy, it's him going to the trampoline park. It's him just going out to eat, and it's just random. They have a great chemistry between the two of them where, like, he gives Jay shit and Jay gives him shit. Mm-hmm. And it just, they play off well off each other. And I know other people that follow him and they're like, you need to follow him. And I, when I started, I was like, I knew Jay back when I worked at the front desk at Gold's Gym.
Really?
And was 19 years old. And he used to come in and go,
he's a Vegas guy.
Yeah. Well, he was from, I think he's from Massachusetts initially, but he's relocated to Vegas over the last 12 years. He used to come into Gold's Gym when I worked at the front desk, and I was 19 years old. And at that point, I never touched anything. I was just 240-pound kid.
Okay.
Just part-time in school. Full-time in school, sorry, working in school, working part-time. And he would always just tell me, you should be a bodybuilder. Like, you have good genetics. Mm-hmm. And I would tell him I want to be a pro wrestler. And it was just like,
he just laughed at you.
He was like, fuck off.
What are you doing, Mark?
No, he was one of the few guys that, like, was actually, not to say we ever, like, talked for a long time, but he would, like, initiate a little bit of a conversation.
Okay.
And I'm just, you know what I mean? I'm just a 19-year-old kid at the time. And
sure.
You're busy and you're living your life, and he's at the top of his game at that point. He's in there for, you know, to come and get his workout and get out. It just, having a little conversation, he was actually the one that kind of put it in my head, maybe I should fucking do steroids.
Okay.
Because I have good genetics. And, like, that's what I told you. I feel like a lot of people start doing stuff like that because they look at what other people are doing and let other people's insecurities become their own.
Okay.
And then, like, I never at that point ever questioned, like, I look bad or anything. But then I, like, oh, pro wrestlers, I got it to be a pro wrestler. I have to do it.
Yes.
And that's kind of what changed my mindset during that period, which I've gotten away from. But in my early 20s, I thought that I had to do that to be successful, if that makes sense. But
makes total sense.
Yeah. But Jay was, I've always liked, he's always just a down to earth, funny dude. And follow him on Snapchat. I don't know the exact Snapchat, but.
Was he your number one bodybuilder guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've always, and like I have a, I like all different types of lifting and whatnot, but, and I respect anybody in any field that just gives it their all at any level, and whether there's drugs involved or not, to still make it to the elite of that level. I feel like the work ethic you cannot, to get to the top in that industry is obviously great genetics, one, yes, and work ethic. And he has, you know, absolute great work ethic. And I think he lives smart too. He doesn't like necessarily overexert himself lifting. He's more of that, of the illusion of the art of bodybuilding, of like Arnold, of just of having.
How old is he?
Huh?
How old is he?
Cutler has to be close to 40 or in his 40s now.
Okay.
But he looks, if you look at him compared to other bodybuilders, he's light years ahead of him.
Really?
Like, look at Ronnie Coleman now.
Yeah.
He's had like a back fusion and like all these other surgeries. I don't know exactly everything, but lifting heavy, you pay a price.
I can imagine.
And look at Mark Henry. Like Mark was legitimately one of the world's strongest men back in his prime.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark never touched anything, never, just a naturally beyond strong human being. But lifting those sorts of weights just stresses your joints and tendons at a level, eventually it catches up to you. Where
sure.
I think Jay has had more of a long-term approach,
mm-hmm.
where it you could still get results lifting lighter, which is still heavy compared to most people, but at a where you are stimulating muscle growth through repetitions rather than weight.
Okay.
He's still going strong. He looks phenomenal still, so.
Well, I think this episode we talked about this beforehand. We're going to focus on addiction.
Yeah. A lot of people have addictions.
Sure.
Have we done our plugs yet? We are horrible. Every episode we go, we got to get our plugs
in. I think in the beginning we might have. I think you plugged feedmemore.com. I don't remember.
I don't think I did.
Okay.
Guys, if you're listening, check out feedmemore.com at Ryback22 on Twitter, the big guy Ryback22 on Instagram, Ryback247 on Snapchat. And Pat?
Buck Never Stops across all media platforms, WrestlePROOnline.com. You want to come see a show like this weekend here at WrestlePro, or if you want to be a wrestler, CreativePROWrestling.com. I got two schools. I can teach you how to be a wrestler.
Pat, I have news for you.
News. Go ahead.
You said this weekend I'll be at WrestlePro. By the time this airs, those events will have been long gone.
By the time this airs, you will be approaching, if my timeline's correct, you will be going to your match with Sean Studd.
That'll be 2 days after by the time this airs.
Really? November yeah. What?
That's November 5th. This airs November 7th.
Fuck. So you've already wrestled
Sean
Studd.
I've already wrestled Big Sean Studd.
And beat him.
Don't. Jesus Christ. Sean, I apologize. It's, spoiler alert. No.
So you'd be, wait, November, oh, you're off.
Is he 7 feet tall, by the way?
I don't think he's as big as his dad, but he has a cool look.
He looks like a big guy, like a big dude.
And I'm hoping this experience goes well because I booked it, so it's not.
No, it will. I have no doubt it will go well. He looks like a nice guy.
This weekend you'd actually be off because it's the birthday boy's weekend.
November 10th, I'm off that weekend, right?
You are off.
I've spent the last 5 years overseas in England on buses on my birthday.
Oh, man.
Yeah, drinking bottles of Jack by myself.
Do people celebrate it or nothing?
I don't like to like usually you make a big deal, no. I remember there was 1 year, our boy John Cena came over and gave me a bottle of Jack. And
Knowing it's your birthday or not knowing?
No, he knew.
He knew.
And I go, oh, thanks. And like they were on the back of the bus. And I was just, this was after everything was kind of going on. I wasn't happy. I was already miserable.
Pretty checked out. Yeah.
Miserable. And this is early on. and I just remember I drank, and I remember Layla was on the bus, and she was pretty drunk. And I think we just had a conversation for a while, for a little bit. I remember Santino, they were on the back of the bus doing the battle raps, and they kept wanting me to come back, but I wanted... And without going into details, I wanted nothing to do with that backstage part of the bus because of the one person. And just, like, just fuck off.
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah.
And, which we'll go into details about later. But it was like, yeah, I was fine. It was just, I'm happy to be home. And I've never been big on celebrating or anything.
You told me, because you had a really, you're like,
great
you know what?
Birthdays. In my childhood, I had great birthdays.
Sure.
Always had huge parties. My family, my parents did a great job on like always had all the neighborhood kids over and like. But as I got older, I just like I don't.
Doesn't matter.
No, yeah. To me, it just doesn't like. It was a made up. Oh, we celebrate your day of birth. I'm thankful for being alive every day and like. But like, I think a lot of people use it as an excuse just to go get drunk or like.
That's what I do. I mean,
yeah. Which no, is nothing wrong
no
with
that. No one's
it.
Ever around on my birthday. No one's ever around. I have a tough birthday.
You do.
You don't even know my birthday, motherfucker.
December 24th.
Oh, you fucking know.
Yeah,
holy
my dad
shit.
Is December 25th.
Is it really?
That's why I remember yours.
God
was,
damn.
I sympathize with
you
your
really
situation.
Are a good fucking friend.
Yeah, asshole. You're I'm horrible, by the way, at birthdays, and I know yours every fucking year.
God damn.
Which, by the way, I forgot to tell you, the portrait I had done for you and your wife, it's the guy, I haven't gotten it yet. He yeah. asked me to pick it up 2 weeks ago, and I was at boxing, and I was just too busy, and like... I was like, finally, when I get home, I got to message him and go pick it up. So
sure.
I got that coming for you.
I appreciate
but I,
that.
He missed
wow.
out. I was hot because he left off. I gave specific instructions. You know, when we went to the, after the wedding,
yeah.
when you walked in, they had the picture of, there was like a not a poem necessarily. There was writing on one of the things of the date and time of the wedding
yeah,
and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was like a saying on there and I took a picture of it and I wanted him to have that on the thing. He didn't put it on. So when the picture I sent you didn't have it.
Was it, what was it?
I have it on my phone, but I'd have to pull it up.
Smell of sea and...
Yeah.
Wow,
something
funny.
With the sea.
Yes,
and it just ties
sky.
In. Yeah,
yes,
and it ties in with everything
so
and having
my
the
wedding.
Picture.
Yeah.
With your mom on there and everything. And by the way, he's such a good artist, but like I remember I felt like he could have done a better job with Lauren. I was not happy with her.
I showed Lauren it. She's like, that's so nice. She's like, I'm not that ugly, am I? I'm like,
no.
I'm like, yes, you are. No, you're kidding.
So, which by the way, and I don't know how to, like, I want to ask him to like redo it because so my initial thing when he sent it to me, I could tell you
my mom looked great.
I laughed.
That looked good.
I laughed hysterically when he said it to me because of Lauren. Because
Lauren looked like an alien.
Yeah. I go, how did he fuck this up so badly? Because to me, like, she should be the prettiest one.
Yes,
like,
out of all of us.
It's her wedding day.
Yes.
Like, and she is. And like, and it was just, it was not, and he, but I know. It's so I can't. I'm gonna have him change it.
That makes me like it even more. I appreciate that.
But yeah, I know you would appreciate it. It was the thought I felt like that going into it. But so that's on its way.
So we're talking about the theme of this show is going to be addiction.
Everybody has addictions.
I know. So
you want to start it off? You have a hell of a story. Not you personally with addiction, but a person
that
you know.
No, because we're like, well, what do we talk about with addiction? And one of the things that came to mind, I was like, you know, the weirdest addiction I ever heard about was, or I've ever experienced was, there was a time, and if you listen to this podcast, you know that, you know, we lived together in NXT, FCW early days. I left FCW.
Yeah.
And I was a part of someone's addiction. And it helped fund my life for a little bit. And what I mean by that is that before I moved in with you, I was living in Tampa.
This
with,
is the wizard?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I was living... the fact that his catch line is actually, oh, wow. He says that a lot. Everything.
Wait, is it really?
Yeah, he's, oh, wow.
Oh, wow. I'll make sure to constantly do that then. So, oh, wow.
Before I moved in with you, I was living with Kevin Matthews and Becky Bayless. They were my roommates.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You were living with Fletcher Chase. Cookie from TNA. So, but here's
I remember
thing.
I saw her on the beach, and I was, like, very disappointed in her. Sorry, Becky. You had no makeup on. You were at the beach.
So, Kevin, at the time, who was one of the most hilarious stories, he was trying to get his job back at WWE.
Yeah. So Kevin Matthews, right?
Yes, who was one of my best friends. And I found it hilarious because he had a tryout. I couldn't get looked upon.
I was there for his tryout at FCW, I think.
Yes, you probably were. He said he had a first two matches in a row. In the first match, he's like, oh, I did pretty good. And the second match, he was so blown up from wrestling the first match, he didn't get rehired.
Which if you're winning, it has to be on point to do that. So, I mean, those tryout matches are no joke. You have to be beyond in shape to succeed at
just
those.
Just to do 2 7-minute matches back to back, you had to be like
you have to be good, in such good shape that you could do 3 matches. Like not long ones, but again, a short match you can blow up just as bad as a long one because pacing. You know what I mean? Like,
you know,
if you think that's all you're doing is one match, you give it everything you have, and then they turn around and go, "Give me another
one more." Yeah,
and it's like ooh, but that again comes with like
pacing and
but conditioning. I notice now, like with the box, like I do such extreme conditioning that even when I get beyond blown up, I recover within 1 to 2 minutes, like ready to go. And like,
sure,
compared to back when I was in my 20s, when after one long match or one match, I'd be done. Whereas you told me I had to wrestle again because I didn't know about that type of conditioning. So,
so he had his thing and he was kind of like, you know what, whatever. I lived with him, he's like, I'm gonna move back. At the time, and he's one of my best friends too, he's like, you know what? One of our friends, Danny, met this guy at an independent show. So our friend Danny was wrestling in an independent show with...
Who's Danny? Just
you never met him before. His name's Danny D'Amato. He's an independent guy.
Okay.
So he's wrestling on this show, and Chris Masters is on it.
Yeah.
Okay? He's not wrestling him, but then nice he guy. Notices there's a guy in the front row wearing slacks, a long, a nice shirt, dressed up, fatter guy, maybe in his early 50s or, early 50s or mid 50s. And he's watching the show and he notices that Chris, much like many independent shows, much like we'll be tomorrow, will have pictures in the ring.
Oh, wow.
So Chris Masters wrestles his match and has pictures in the ring after this independent show.
All oiled up, trunks on.
Jacked as can be. Yeah. Phil Nelson, you know, beats the guy. And this older man, whose name is Bob.
I don't think you've ever told me his name.
Oh, Bob.
Okay.
He's a wizard, but we call him Bob, which I'll explain. Gets in the ring. and gets his picture taken with Chris Masters. Now he goes to Chris, and this is how he talks.
Hey, Chris, can you put me in the full Nelson?
So he takes his picture, and Chris is like, okay, whatever. Puts on like a weak full Nelson to take the picture. And the guy, Bob, is like annoyed because he thought...
He wants him to fucking cinch it in.
Yes. So he's like, okay.
Jesus Christ.
So he gets out of line and then gets...
Wait, he pays for the photo.
Pays for the photo.
For the shitty master lock.
Pays $20 for the photo.
Yeah.
Gets his Polaroid, gets out, gets back into line again.
What the fuck?
Goes back through the whole line again. There's a big crowd. Goes, Chris, can you please put me in the full Nelson? Same thing. Chris is like, oh, this is fucking weird, and puts it on him again, but doesn't put any... He's not going to fucking put on a full Nelson.
You can't.
No.
It's like when a fan asks you to put him in a headlock for a photo, you put him in the weakest,
yes,
most feeble headlock possible to do, like, oh, here we go.
Takes a picture. Mark. He's like kind of sad. Gets back into line again.
No.
Swear to God. So then while that's happening, the independent guy, Danny, is going... What the fuck's up? What's going on with this? Something's weird with this guy. Here's a money guy or something. Talks to the guy and goes, you got in line three times, you know, pretty much. Like, and the guy's like, he wouldn't put it on me. He's like, I'll put it. He goes, if you put a full Nelson on me, I'll give you $20. And Danny's like, sure. Puts him in a full Nelson and fucking grabs
cinches it in.
For real, $20. Put it on me again. Another $20. Put it on me again. Another $20. So Danny's like, what the fuck is this? This is crazy.
This is beyond weird.
Beyond weird. Long story short.
I would like to hear the whole long story, to be quite honest. This is... I remember you giving me little...
I didn't want to tell you because I've never told you about this, to be honest. This is the first time I'm talking about this with you.
You've given me bits and pieces of this wizard guy, and like he was addicted to full Nelsons. And I remember I just like, in my head, I told you this before, you know.
There's something going on.
I'm your friend regardless, and no matter what you do.
I'm not going to judge you, but. Yeah,
like, I never asked questions about it because I didn't want to.
Which is why I'm so comfortable telling you about this, because it's fucking... The number one craziest thing I've been a part of my whole entire life. So anyway.
From what you've just told me.
This is wild.
Unreal.
So anyway. Danny and another guy catch wind about this guy. And they're like, but they're still kind of creeped out. Like, what's this guy's deal?
Is he going to be there tomorrow at our shows?
No. He's like, early. He's in this early. What the, this guy, like, is he weird? What the fuck? He dresses up to go to shows.
Like with nice clothes and everything?
Nice clothes. Okay. Like, you know, he's like a fatter. Like he's a legit accountant. So I start meeting him in parks and like talking to him. Like,
wait,
like,
so you would go to parks?
Not me. Oh. I'm not there yet.
Okay. Who's meeting him in parks?
This guy, Danny. Okay. Before Matthews. And they would do full Nelsons in the park and get paid for it. I swear to God.
Parks where there's like children playing and everything.
I mean, there's no crowd, but they'd put out a full Nelson in the park. He would tap out.
I mean, when you think of going to the park, the last thing that comes to my mind is going to the park and applying full Nelsons to people.
So this would happen.
Okay.
So then while we're in Tampa and I'm living with Matt, before I move in with you,
yeah.
Matthews is like, hearing about this from the guy Danny, he's like, dude, shut the fuck up. This isn't true. You're probably blowing this guy.
Yeah.
You're
I feel like something came up. I remember hearing about this back then. And like,
he's like, you're probably fucking this guy. What is going on? I know you're making money, but fuck you. No fucking way this is real.
Yeah.
Matthews leaves. I move in with you. Matthews is back there. We live together. Remember I told you FC, I didn't get hired. I'm going to move back. Yep. I move back. I'm doing my independent dates. I go to an independent show with Matthews and Danny, who's doing this to this fucking guy. And Matthews is like, hey, man, you know what? I'm going to cut you in. You got to meet this guy. I'm like, who? What the fuck are you talking about? He's like, remember the full Nelson thing? I'm like, yeah.
This man's addiction, though, was full Nelson's.
I remember I go to the bathroom that night. I'm literally at a urinal. And this guy, Bob, walks
in. What about Bob?
And he goes, you're Kevin's friend. While I'm peeing at the urinal.
Oh, man.
Are you strong like Seamus? You look like Seamus. I'm like creeped out. I'm like, fuck this guy.
Conversations at the urinal are kind of like...
A little weird.
Yeah.
That
you kind
night,
of try to mind your own business at the urinals.
That night, after that, I was at an independent show that Kevin and this guy Danny were working on. And this guy, like, he kind of said that thing in the urinal. I'm like, this guy's weird. We go to eat after at a diner. All of us, there's like a bunch of guys there. And
wait, with Bob?
With Bob.
Oof.
Who,
oh, wow.
Who's paying for it all.
Of course.
And I'm like, this is still fucking weird. I'm like, I don't like, and he's hitting on me practically. He's like, you look strong. And Kevin's like, don't worry about him. He role plays.
I think you should explain, though, to people listening that this guy, though, wasn't, from what you've told me, right? He wasn't interested sexually in anything.
You know, I think he loves guys, but it was all from the, he wanted guys just put him in these submission holds.
That was his addiction. Is
Paul Nelson was the number one thing, but let me, I'll get to that. So anyway, I go, Kevin, like, this is weird. I want nothing to do with this. He goes, you know, he told me he wants you to be a part of this. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, and
you're
I'm
one of the chosen
for,
ones.
I'm hard for money. So he's like,
you weren't had the no promotion.
No,
at the time, right?
No money, nothing. Yeah. I left NXT. I was an independent guy. He goes, look, dude, here's the thing. He's going to pay you to wrestle at this independent promotion himself. He's going to pay you $200 to wrestle a match. He's going to pay you $200 after to fucking put him in a full Nelson and wrestle him. And I'm like, fuck, what's my life become? I'm wrestling on a show. I got to wrestle in a match, which is cool. And then I got to wrestle this old guy after. So I figure
that
I got to go to this show. I'm wrestling the show. It was fine. And then me and Matthews go back to a hotel after, which makes no fucking sense because I live an hour away. I could drive home. So me and Matthews are sharing a hotel room. And I'm going, oh, my God. I got to wrestle this old guy. Do I have to get dressed in gear? Do I have to fucking wrestle him? Like, I don't want to do
this. Nothing worse than putting on wrestling gear when you don't have to really wrestle.
I'm like, this is going to be so...
Let alone...
This is going to be so... Put on nothing muscles. Against gay people. I'm like, this is so weird. This isn't me. This is what happens. Me and Matthews are there. We're watching TV. Matthews is like, I don't give a fuck. Watching TV. Doesn't care. And meanwhile, I'm like nervous and fucking skit.
Wait, you guys put on your wrestling gear or no?
No, okay, not yet. Okay. We're just sitting there. I'm like, I guess we have to put on our gear. We have to fucking role play with this guy. But I'm like, it's $400. I've never made $400 in my life.
Yeah.
As far as wrestling, Wizard Bob knocks on the door. Kevin opens it. Goes, what's up, motherfucker? Grabs him, puts him in a full Nelson, and the guy fucking drops and falls to the floor. And he goes, we're done. You want to go eat? I'm going, wait, that's it? He's like, yeah, what the fuck? I'm like, I thought
we... Bob said this?
No, Kevin said this. Yeah, and the guy's fucking recuperating on the floor, like selling, like, because he just...
Kevin ever concerned, like, he was going to hurt the man, like, to a point where...
Yeah, but, like, Kevin's like, wait. Do we have to get, like, dressed in wrestling gear? He goes, what are you, fucking gay? No, let's go eat with... He's going to pay for our meal right now. I'm like, this is it? He's like, yeah, that's it. He's like, if you want to later, if you feel nice, put him in a full Nelson. He's happy. That was it.
What do you think his deal was with, like, wanting to be put in, though? Like, what was... I mean, it's like...
He had this obsession with being put in holds. And if full Nelson was number one, he'd like sleeper hold.
What? I'm trying to even think of where this could have originated from. Like,
I don't know. I don't know. He just wanted to be put in full Nelsons, and he likes to be hurt, and he tap out. And then, I kid you not, for a year and a half straight, me and Matthews would go to this guy's house. He would have a stack of cash on the fucking thing.
Much like you have for me for these shows this
Much
week.
Like this weekend. A little smaller than that, where we would just pick him up, put him in a full Nelson, and then we go eat a meal, and he'd pay for it.
Where would you guys go eat at?
Anywhere we wanted to. He was a big foodie, so we had like Italian restaurants we go eat.
Was it always somewhere different then?
Always different, because he was a foodie, and he would want to impress us and pay for the meal as well.
What was like the average bill, would you say, for a meal?
$150.
Really?
Yes. Easily.
That's a lot for three people. Like, that's...
There was a time where me, my girlfriend at the time, my brother, and Matthews, every Friday night, would go meet with Bob. We'd go to his house. Hey, what's up? My girlfriend would be there at the time. My brother would be there.
Jeez.
And we'd go, hey, what's up, Bob? And we'd throw him into full Nelson, and he'd be like, ah.
The girlfriend throw him in one too, or was he not into that?
Wasn't into that. She's not strong enough for that. He's going to meet you this weekend, and he's going to be like, oh, put me in there.
Wait, Bob's going to be at the show?
Oh, of course he is.
That's what I was going to ask you, if he's going to be there.
Yes. So.
Does he have any money left?
None.
So I've been working on my full Nelson.
So to explain this guy in a nutshell, and this is, I know people have heard this. You've heard this mentioned on Cabana's podcast before or on my own from years ago. This guy, to sum him up in a nutshell, when he met us, he was like 54. He made 85 grand a year. He was an accountant. No friends, no family, no nothing, no kids, bills. So he just made this. He had the savings, and I swear to God, between me, Matthews, and maybe about four or five other wrestlers, he spent $1 million.
Did he have any photos of Hercules Hernandez around his place or anything?
No, but he was a big fan of him. He's a big fan of Billy Jack Haynes.
Yep.
Big fan of Chris Masters. Anyone who did a full Nelson. But he went through.
What would happen tomorrow working the Heavenly Bodies if we put them in a double full Nelson spot?
He would fucking lose his shit. But he's so. There's been so much
stuff. I have
stuff
to do this now solely. Just
every match I do a full Nelson because of this. Every match. I put one in Hawkins' last match, and he was just laughing because I'm doing it. But the guy is so, let's just say this. This guy is so fucked up. He has spent all of his savings, his retirement he took early, and he gave it to all the pro wrestlers because he would pay them for full Nelsons. It's fucking crazy. I swear to God.
I believe you.
He would do. You remember Jamie from My Wedding?
Yeah.
Chase? He had a thing where he wanted two guys. He would call this a push Nelson. He would want a role play where he was at a bar.
Wait, what?
Where he would go up and go, this is how we talked. Hey, let me in the bar. And the bouncer would go, no, get out of here, old man. And the bouncer would push him, and he would stumble back with his hands in the air so the other guy could grab him in a full Nelson, and we called it a push Nelson.
Oh.
And that was at least $20,000 that went right out the window because that was his fucking thing for a year. And that's what I did when I left developmental. Which
everybody has their thing, I mean. But that is, I mean, I remember when we were living together in Louisville, remember I told you that guy, there was a guy emailing me all the time.
Yes, I do remember.
Who wanted me to come wrestle
MySpace.
Him. Yeah, MySpace. One of Tom's friends wanted me to come to a town, whatever it was, like 2 hours away, or meet him at like a hotel.
He was like a famous what?
I don't know, but he supposedly had money, and like he emailed me every week to wanted me to bring my wrestling gear and like beat him up in a hotel room.
More specifically, though, didn't he want you to wear the actual Ryback Terminator gear?
Yeah, there
beat
was something,
the fuck
yeah,
out of him.
There was something, and he like
he was like a famous
and at that time,
politician.
I didn't like at the time. In my head, it was, oh, this is 100% sexual. No, thank you. And like,
yeah.
But he would just keep sending fucking messages. But he kept saying, this isn't sexual. I just want you to beat the shit out of me.
Yep.
But what am I like? And I would like, no, thank you. I'd rather just earn my living. And like, but people like that, I guess, exist because there's different addictions.
That's their thing.
Yeah.
And then they'll probably beat their dick when they're not around, but that's their fucking thing. And that's.
I did get one request on Instagram from somebody. For I believe it was 75 grand to give him a blowjob in Vegas.
This recently?
Yeah. And I just fucking blocked.
Yes. And you're like, hey, what's the address?
I was like, Jesus Christ. I mean, everyone has their thing, but Jesus. We've talked about this, and it's very, you know, the normal addictions are alcohol, nicotine, you know, tobacco.
Sex, but not like this.
Yeah, everybody has their thing, and we were going to talk about. I know when I got to Deep South Wrestling, for me, I had very little experience with even living in Las Vegas. I was always focused and kind of just kept and did my own thing, and I drank here and there, and I got down to Deep South Wrestling, and I was introduced to GHB, which is kind of like the date rape drug. It's a liquid. It looks like water, but it's thicker.
What does that stand for?
I have to look that up.
Okay.
It's alpha gamma something hydro.
So it's like a roofie
acid
kind of thing?
Like, but it used to be sold over the counter in GNC.
Really?
Look it up on your phone as I'm talking, so we can pronounce the proper name for people, or don't.
No, I'm staring at the time gimmick.
Oh, we're more than fine. The guys down there, somebody was able to get a hookup on it, I guess.
Okay.
It used to be, and if you remember, like, and William Regal talks about it in his book, and Eddie Guerrero in his book, where they talk about their addiction to GHB. It used
really?
To be, yeah. Guerrero got in the car wreck from it. Do you remember he talked in WCW when he got in the car accident?
Sure.
It was from that, which it used to be sold over the counter in GNC as like a sleep aid.
Okay.
Which had its purpose, essentially, kind of, but like anything, it worked too
yeah,
well.
Party drug, yeah.
Yeah. And people realized, oh, this can mess me up. So it became very, very illegal. But in Deep South Wrestling, I got down there, and the guys, there were a couple guys that were able to get gallons of it at a time. Remember those big Gatorade bottles they used to sell at the stores with the handles?
Yeah.
The huge, huge, they would get multiples of those filled up with GHB and would put them into smaller water bottles.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody down there, but a good portion of the guys had their water bottles full of this stuff. And it was like, it wasn't like the environment of today, but we would train 5 days a week and just kill ourselves and go through all of that. And on the weekends, no shows.
Decompress.
Just, yeah, decompress, have fun, do whatever the fuck, drink, and do this GHB, which eventually I would do it every day. And it became a very regular part of my life where, for me, it was kind of the first thing I really, truly got addicted to down there. And the training was hard and whatnot, and I could sit there and say, I can make it up any excuse I want that I did it because of that. But,
yeah.
You know, I got addicted to it. And I would do it when I got home from practice. I would take a water bottle cap of it. Measure it in a water bottle cap, take one or two caps.
That's it? That's all you needed.
Oh, if you do, that's if you overdo it just a little, it's the difference between like puking your, you know.
But I mean, you have a whole gallon of things and you just pour water
cap? Pour it in, so like a water bottle like this, like water bottle I'm looking at right now. This is a 16.9 ounce water bottle.
Yeah.
We would pour them into bottles similar to this. And then take a cap like this.
That's it.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Fill it up. And it was thicker than water. So, and then you pour it in water and maybe you do half or another one, no more than two.
Okay.
So I would do it after practice and everyone, this was again, across the board, a lot of people. And I would take a nap after practice, get up, eat, take another cap. Cause if you do just a little, it give you energy.
Yeah.
Such a weird drug. And then I'd go work out for 3 hours.
Really?
Yeah. And then get home and do a bunch and eventually pass out, sleep. But like it would, like you could take it and you would sleep like 3 or 4 hours and feel like you slept 8.
Wow.
Like it would put you in a deep sleep. But many nights I would wake up and take another cap to go back to bed, but you become reliant on it. And like it was an addiction.
Sure.
So the first bad encounter I had on this, which I was telling you about earlier, I thought I told you this before.
No.
This was before obviously the WWE wellness policy. And I believe I was on a little bit of steroids at the time. And clenbuterol was one of the things, like a fat burner. It was a liquid fat burner.
Yeah, though. Yeah.
And I had it in my bathroom. And I'm like 23 years old,
sure.
You know, in my young 20s. And the GHB would make me sleepwalk, where I would take it at night. And like you're in such a deep sleep, but I'd have to piss or something.
Sure.
And having sleep apnea, like such a dangerous combination at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But I would wake up in my sleep and go to the bathroom. There were many nights where I would wake up in the morning and I'd pissed on the shower curtain.
Okay.
Because I was just pissing.
Locked up.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And not knowing. And I would have to clean every day. And I was like, I remember there would be some mornings my shower curtain was ripped off the wall. And
really?
Like, yeah. And the bathroom would be a mess. And I'm like, you know, think of Step Brothers. Like legit.
Put your balls on my drums.
Yeah. But that was what was going on.
Yeah.
So I had this bottle of clenbuterol in my medicine cabinet in my bathroom. And yeah, full bottle, by the way, remind you, a bottle that would kill.
I'm just thinking like,
remember Smokey Bones when we would.
I've taken clenbuterol. I took clenbuterol.
Anybody who knows about this, yeah.
And I take 3 drops.
You,
and I'm
like
jittery.
A dropper is 1 milliliter big usually.
Yeah.
And you take drops of this stuff. It's so strong.
Drops.
So I have a full bottle in my medicine cabinet. I wake up in the morning after a night where we were drinking, doing GHB at Double D's probably in McDonough, Georgia, which was no longer exists. But I wake up and like it was like 6 a.m. and my heart is pounding out of my chest.
Oh my
like,
God.
Just like if you could,
yeah.
Like that. And I sit up and I don't know. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? What the fuck is going on? What the fuck is going on? And I'm beyond hyper, like waking up with way too much energy.
Okay.
I don't know what's going on. I just had to piss really, really bad. I get out of bed. My heart, I could see my chest physically
moving.
I go and I piss. I had to piss so bad. And as I'm pissing, I look over and I see on my kitchen or my bathroom countertop, the bottle of clenbuterol.
Empty,
tipped over, open, with two drops sitting on the counter.
Oh my God.
And I'm looking at it, and it doesn't hit me right away, because why would it?
Well, yeah.
Like, and I know, and I look at it, and I go, how am I alive right now? How am I fucking alive right now? Mm. I've never been more scared in my entire life. I ran downstairs, and I had Lean Pockets. I cooked every Lean Pocket that I had.
Just eat it.
I started filling up gallons of water, just chugging. I mean, beyond the point of being sick.
Yeah.
Because I needed to dilute my mind. I was like, I have to flush this out however I can. I stayed up the entire day monitoring my heart rate. And it finally started calming down like at 7 o'clock at night.
Oh, my God.
And thank God we didn't have practice or anything that day, because I would like Bill would have made me. I would have probably died by overexerting myself and like
210
my heart rate. And that's why I always like to this day I am. And I took it a couple times in Louisville with you, but like I always put it in a different place at that point. Yeah. Like I never left it again anywhere I could find it. But that wasn't the only horror story that I had with the GHB.
Okay.
I had another one where Great Khali was came to Deep South, and I was the first one that they assigned to Khali duty, they called it.
Sure.
Where you would have to go pick him up and bring him to a store, like whatever. I had to go set up his AOL account for like call AOL.
I'm just going to pause right here because I got to pee real quick. I'm sorry. Hey everybody, I know I'm interrupting the flow of this mediocre podcast, but what you should do, I bet you guys are really hungry right now. If you're really hungry, you need to go to blueapron.com/big guy. Blue Apron, it's an awesome company. I'm supposed to read off a paper or give my own ideas. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to tell you my experience with them. Basically, you get this fresh food. It's awesome. You get 3 meals and for free just for listening to the show and going to blueapron.com/big guy. And they tell you how to put together everything, whether you're cooking for a family of two, there's that option, or a family of four or bigger. It's like less than $10 per meal. It's delicious. Blue Apron knows when you cook with incredible ingredients, you make incredible meals. So they set the highest quality standards for their community of artisanal suppliers, family-run farms, fisheries, and ranchers. I tried to go back to the script, and it didn't work out very well. But what I'm saying is I'm using this thing, and I'm going to, whether they sponsor the show or not, I'm going to continue to use them. Because I'm very lazy, and I'd rather get my ingredients. I hate going to the store. Going to ShopRite is kills me. So what I like to do is pick the meals I want on Blue Apron. They send them to my house, and I think you should too. Just check it out. Try it out. What do you have to lose? BlueApron.com/big guy. You will love how good it feels, how it tastes. Incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. Don't wait. BlueApron.com/big guy. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Back to the show. And we're back. Sorry I cut you off, but you're talking about Khali duty.
Yeah. So I was the first one that had the Great Khali duty down there in Deep South Wrestling. And so it like entailed things as far as like I'd have to go down to his house or apartment at the time and like set up his AOL account and call AOL and like.
Shut up. Yeah. Really?
Like and give them the information to get his AOL on.
No.
And then I had to take him to the grocery store and like go shopping with him. And he was in the longest yard at that point.
But you were like his young boy. Kind of.
Yeah. And like I was, but like me and him have always had a really good relationship. He's always treated me very, very well. And I've always, you know, treated him well. And he's never like ever said anything disrespectful to me. And like, you know what I mean? Just been a good dude. And, but like, I remember taking him to Walmart and like people, you have me who at the time and jacked up guy And then him, who's 7 foot giant, 7 foot two giant, you know, who just did this movie, and he's being recognized left and right, and like was just doing photos, getting stopped all the time. But he had no concept of like, at this point coming over, he would like, we'd go and like he needed rice and we'd go get rice. But then he wanted a pair of scissors and we'd have to walk into Super Walmart all the way to the scissor section. And then he wanted to go back for the frozen food aisle. Like, and it was hard to communicate with him, like all groceries first. And then we go over here, like,
sure.
But it was going by whatever popped in his head, and it was a process. And like your day off when you have to go work out and just want to relax, you know, you're running back and forth for free. And it is what it is. And it was, you know, he's such a good guy, so it was fine helping him. But there was one particular instance with the GHB. I had to pick him up in the morning to take him to the grocery store. And it was supposed to be like he wanted to go early in the morning. And whenever Kali wanted to go at a certain point, like, you were told, like, just to take him whenever he wanted to go. And I was the first one. This was, like, I was the trial.
How did you get this on you? You just picked her randomly, or?
Yeah, Bill just picked me. Okay. Like, you know, it was fine. I never had it ever again, so. So we go out one night, and they're drinking heavily, and this was at the peak of mixing the GHB with alcohol, which is a huge no-no. Which just kind of delays the reaction of it, where you can get away doing more of it.
Okay.
But it hits you. And Trent Beretta has been a huge advocate of wanting me to tell this story.
Trent, who doesn't like most things, he doesn't even like words on his t-shirts, has been adamant on...
He loves the podcast, right?
A very big supporter. He didn't
I understand, a lot of the boys love the podcast, which I was beyond grateful for.
No, I like that too. We need the support of our peers.
I get quite a few messages, and it's I'm taken back by it. People like hearing us ramble on and flap our gums, so to speak.
Yeah,
so.
And thank you, Trent. I miss Trent.
Dearly. I do too. Trent, T-R-I-N-T, as I've always called him. I don't know where we got that started, but I always call him Trent. He always calls me Skippy. So I have partaken in a lot of GHB and a lot of alcohol at Double D's.
Which is a bar.
A bar in McDonough, Georgia, which we had a lot of great memories at. All the guys there. Luke Gallows was there for a lot of Luke Gallows stories are legendary. That's not my place to tell any of those. We'll wait till we have Luke on as a guest and put him under the lamp. I wake up late. I was like, Collie had many missed calls from the great Collie. That morning, it was like a Sunday morning. Saturday night, we're out. I wake up in my bed and I felt like I had died. Okay. Like I, at a whole other level. And I, again, probably for the second or third time in my life, should have been dead. And I'm sitting there lying in bed, and then I sit up and I smell like the most horrid smell that you could ever imagine smelling. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I'm like, and my, just everything was blurry. And I look, my room is destroyed. My bedroom looked like it got hit by a shit tornado. And when I say a shit tornado,
what do you mean? Like literally?
Piles of shit. Piles. Not one pile of shit. Multiple piles of shit and puke all on the floors of my bedroom. Piss all over the walls. The bathroom completely destroyed.
No memory.
Like no memory. Stepbrothers times 1,000. At some point in the night, because I had done so much GHB and alcohol,
okay,
my body had like probably gone into convulsions and like just trying to get rid of these horrid chemicals. And I did it by shitting and puking everywhere. But I still had my clothes on and nothing was like,
oh, no.
And I was like, my clothes were fine, which I'm blown away by at this point that I wasn't covered in piss, shit, and vomit. My bedroom, to this day, it's the scariest thing I've ever encountered. And how I didn't die, I don't know. Kali had all these calls from Kali. And I just text him. I go, give me some time. I'll come pick you up. Eric Perez, who was living with me at the time, had his wife, who was living, in Puerto Rico still, was like down there visiting. So like his bedroom was right across from mine. And all I'm thinking is I got to go to Walmart and take Kali shopping. And I don't have time to pick up my bedroom. And it was the night of the Royal Rumble. And I think it was the Rumble that the Spirit Squad debuted at.
Okay.
So time frame wise, it was somewhere in that period. And I opened my windows. We were like on the second floor. I opened my windows all the way up and I shut my door and I lock it so they can't get in.
Oh my God.
And I go take Kali shopping and I buy cleaning, the carpet.
Wait, while your apartment's trashed?
Yeah. I had to leave to go take him shopping. And I go and I do that. And I bought the cleaning chemicals that I needed. It took me 3 hours to clean up that bedroom. And then I got done just in time to invite the guys over to watch the Royal Rumble at my place.
How bad? Where was their shit? It was just everywhere?
On the floor. Like piles. Like just...
Multiple piles.
Multiple. Like more shit than I don't even know where it came from. Like puke. Pile. Like the puke I understood. But like I'm wondering how many times I woke up. Or my body, and how I didn't step in other piles. And it was like a well orchestrated fucking disaster.
Oh my God.
And that was my addiction at the time. And it was something that I did it one more time in Louisville because Nick Mitchell at the time I got transferred to OVW eventually.
Sure.
I was done. After that, I was like, I dumped it all out. And
yeah.
I was like, that was enough for me to scare the living, shit out of me, literally. And Nick Mitchell, though, brought some to Louisville when he got transferred to OVW. It was him. I believe it was Nick Mitchell. And he gave me some. And I took some one night. And it was so bad. Like, I remember, I was like, what am I doing? This stuff is so bad. And I dumped it out and I never again. That was the last time. So, but wow. There's a lot of horror stories with it out there and it is highly illegal and it's not worth it one bit. And I've always learned from everything that I've done over the course of my years. And if you're listening out there and you're addicted to something, you can overcome it. It's just, you just have to have the mind power to be able to do it. So.
Sure. So there's that. We talked about in this longer episode than what we're used to, multiple addictions, whether it be Full Nelson's or GHB, whatever.
There's still some we haven't talked about, actually.
A lot of them being the old rubbing tug. I think we can save that. I mean, we're 50-something minutes in. Follow me at Buck Never Stops on Twitter. And the other guy next to me, you can follow him at...
It's feedmemore.com for everything The Big Guy Ryback, at Ryback22 on Twitter, The Big Guy Ryback22 on Instagram, and Ryback247 on Snapchat. You have just listened to another episode of The Conversation with The Big Guy. Thank you.
Okay, it's time for unprofessional closing plug time. November 19th, WrestlePROOnline.com. You can see me, Ryback, and the Broken Hardys take on the EJ5 in Rahway, New Jersey. That's www.WrestlePROOnline.com. The next day, November 20th, Newark, New Jersey. You can see Ryback versus Colt Boom Boom Cabana. Tickets at www.WrestlePROOnline.com. November 26th, you can catch the Big Guy wrestle Broken Matt Hardy at WrestleCade, and I believe that's Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Forgive me if I got that city wrong. I am a terrible agent. North Carolina, www.WrestleCade.com, I believe. I didn't even look into it. I'm a terrible person. Also, Thursday, November 27th, if you want to see me bore people in the ring and wrestle mediocrely, I'll be in Hicksville, New York. With the other people on the show, I believe, Hit Squad, Alex Reynolds. We got a good lineup there at www.creativeprowrestling.com. And December 3rd, House of Hardcore, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, www.houseofhardcore.net. Ryback will be out there. Also, big plug for the end of the show, check out feedmemore.com for all your Ryback needs. Check out just write, review this fucking podcast and all that stuff. But check out WrestleCon.com. I'm running a show down there. The Big Guy's on it. You can go to WrestleCon.com for that. Or if you want to hit us up and book
the Ryback dude, go to bookthebigguy@yahoo.com so we can get him to your town, or if you want to do a live podcast, I don't know. Just do that and don't waste my time, all right? Thanks for listening to the show. I love you guys. Bye.
The clock's ticking away, and so are your chances to score $1,500 in available bonuses on a new 2017 Jetta or Passat during the Volkswagen Model Year-End event. So visit your Volkswagen dealer for a test drive today. Volkswagen of America, Inc. will pay a $1,500 bonus comprised of a $1,000 Volkswagen bonus and an additional $500 August bonus when you purchase or lease a new, unused 2017 Jetta or Passat model through a participating dealer from August 1st, 2017 to September 5th, 2017. Bonus applied toward MSRP and is not available for cash. Fleet customers are not eligible. See your local Volkswagen dealer or, for general product information, call 1-800-DRIVE-VW.